Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The Scholar Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. We go to China, the People's Republic of China, a report from the Wall Street Journal entitled, Is Shanghai's COVID-19 Disaster China's Future? After largely keeping out of COVID-19 for 2 years, China's largest city is battling an outbreak numbering over 100,000 cases. And while the Shanghai government has yet to acknowledge any COVID fatalities, spiking deaths at some elderly facilities suggest that the numbers are there, whether officially acknowledged or not. I note that the Wall Street Journal and other reporting has obliged us to understand that China counts anything to be the cause of death other than COVID-19, if possible, which is why these numbers don't match up with how in the United States and Europe, we account for the pandemic. Chris, a very good evening to you. Shanghai is 26 million people. It is also a port. Shanghai is representative of other provinces, Guangdong, for example, where the electronics business has been slowed, if not strangled, these last weeks by the fear of COVID-19. The supply chain is the issue that touches all of us, especially the supply chain of high-end electronics, but really all products to do with the digital universe we live in. To your measure, anecdotally, this new decision by China to lock down its second major city, maybe its major city, Shanghai, does that influence the supply chain, or is this just about control and not about markets? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's certainly a huge and cannot state how important this disruption will be into supply chain, specifically global electronic supply chain. With Shanghai, with Shenzhen closed, now going on 5 weeks, with ports closed, the Chinese electronics industry, as it were, is grinding to a halt. It's extremely difficult at the moment. I would also hypothesize that the numbers that you're seeing out of China are dramatically underreported, just on the law of big numbers in a population that tends to be a little bit older than the rest of the world, as well as a population that tends to favor Chinese traditional medicine versus Western medicine. So I would anticipate that the numbers are quite a bit worse. And now with the disruption in supply chain, 2020 is a veritable walk in the park compared to what's coming in global electronics disruption that will affect everything from the Apples and the Samsungs of the world to washer dryers, refrigerators, automobiles. This is going to be very bad.
Heretofore, we've had spotty anecdotes about production lines being shut down because of parts. Usually it has to do with electronic parts. I believe one or more of the Tesla factories, something to do with Japanese car manufacturers. And recently, Chris, I ran across the fact that all farm machinery has chips in them, in the machinery itself, and so that will touch food security. So your measure right now is that these spotty events would become more prevalent, or are we seeing them now, Chris? Is it already in the price?
You're just at the very, very tip of the spear in terms of disruption. You'll see within the next 1, 3, 6 months, much, much more evident disruption where you will not be able to buy an iMac. You will not be able to buy a television because they're just not available. So that will work its way through. Now that the Chinese are also taking a very odd stance in quarantining any subcomponents going into China for 1, 2, 3 weeks under the belief that things such as glass or documents might carry COVID into the country, they're shutting the inbound as well. And you could see a disruption here that lasts 6 months or more of materially very, very small amount of product coming out of China. And consumers will see that in their everyday lives of no availability and much, much higher pricing.
Your business touches on Chinese professionals in country and servicing the country from Singapore or Hong Kong or other cities. Do they speak of this Shanghai lockdown? Is there an understanding of why this method is used? Is it the failure of the vaccine, Sinovac and Sinopharm? Is it what you say, the traditional medicine? Because we get stories about people not having enough food and not having enough medicine. How does that solve this matter? What do the people outside of Shanghai say of this challenge?
John, I think in general, Chinese are very, very, very careful to give an opinion that might end up with them in a bad situation with the government. You have to remember, in a non-free society like that, if you speak out against the government, your ability to travel may be restricted, your social credit score may be dinged. So the Chinese government has set up an environment whereby which dissent is not tolerated. That being said, we're certainly seeing or getting the feeling from many dialogues across China that things are reaching a breaking point. And that breaking point is if people are starving to death in these large cities because the government is not able to bring them food under quarantine or under these lockdowns, you get to the point of people choosing which way they choose to die, quietly in their apartments or loudly on the streets. It's going to start to look more like loudly on the streets if these lockdowns are not lifted, because you have nothing to lose.
There is information that supply chains are being moved or adjusted because of this over-reliance, understood to be over-reliance on China. I saw Taiwan is looking for other manufacturing bases, but these are anecdotes. What is your understanding of how long that would take, even if, presuming that there is a global understanding that you need a plan B? Is this 1 year, 2 years, or could it be done quickly?
It depends on the complexity of the product. And if I use the example to say things like apparel, those are able to be moved much more quickly, even pharmaceuticals. When you get into things like electronics, chip manufacturing, a lot of the systems around those types of systems, those might take 3 years, 5 years to move. And thus far, while there's a lot of discussion about reshoring things to US or moving to other areas of the world, and a lot of that has started, it still is not far enough down the pike to make a material impact. You will still see this direct disruption in China translate to shortages here.
We come to the American recovery, not about the supply chain, but about workers, about knowledge workers who've been working remote for 2 years, now returning to the office. This is part of the recovery. It doesn't answer what Chris is speaking to in Shanghai, but it does answer to the culture as we gain confidence. This from Bloomberg: just 1 or 2 days in the office is the ideal setup for hybrid work, according to a new study. The findings in a paper from Harvard Business School were based on an experiment in the summer of 2020, where 130 administrative workers were randomly assigned to one of three groups over 9 weeks. Some spent less than 25% in the office. Some were more than 40% of the time, while a third intermediate cohort landed in the middle, translating to a day or two per week. That subset turned out more original work than the other groups. Chris, this is a puzzle that we've all had about those office towers in Manhattan these last 2 years. It's complicated by other factors like the threat of crime and also the ability of your office to work remotely, indefinitely, or come back. For example, in Silicon Valley, I believe many of those offices have been empty for 2 years and may or may not return to work. It just depends on the commuting ability. In New York, commuting can be qualified by crime. However, in general, we've talked about back to the office as a source of creativity. 1 or 2 days a week, does that satisfy for creativity, Chris?
John, I think what you'll see going forward is certainly some more hybrid form of work. But I would certainly assert that in many of the businesses around the U.S. where the last 2 years have been kind of the lost years, and new product development, new feature sets have been lagging or have not pressed forward as much, you'll start to see on the earnings of companies those be impacted by that lack of ability to move things downfield. And I think you'll see more and more of a march to, it may not be 5 days a week back in the office, but it's probably three or four. If the salaries, if the product arcs need to maintain momentum, if those don't start to regain momentum, you'll see fundamental shifts where at the end of the day, the consumer is the judge and will buy what they want and how they want it. I think you could see American business lose out in many of those categories to other countries, other companies that are more cohesive in that back to work. In Europe, in the last week and spending time there, people could not wait to get back, are fully back and raring to go.
And so you see a distinction now between the European back to work and the American back to work, or is it too early, Chris? We have about a minute.
Absolute distinction. Europeans are thrilled to be back in the office to a greater extent. They were locked down much more tightly, but very much embracing the back to the office 5 days a week and looking at the U.S. to say remote work. They believe it wasn't that great, wasn't cracked up to what it was attributed to be a better use of time, and are now very much embracing back to the office.
Intermediate hybrid work, writes the Harvard Business School, is plausibly the sweet spot where workers enjoy flexibility and yet are not as isolated compared to peers at home. Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scholar.com. This is the Scholar Report. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.